Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Sunday worship. The scripture lessons that I will be reading in just a little bit are the following: Deuteronomy 7, 9 through 11, Romans 4, 1 through 8, Matthew 18, 23-35, and the closing hymn 4:16. Thank you. In In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by the Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord, God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us, for thou art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, who art the author of all goodness, be ready, we beseech thee, to hear the devout prayers of thy church, and to grant that those things which we finally ask may be obtained effectually, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And we confess our faith according to the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A reading from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 through 11. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep thy commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day, and do them. So far. The Epistle, Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, which is the basis for my sermon. What shall we then say that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, well, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So far. The Gospel, St. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him only 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, and said, Pay me what thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou wanted me to. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, as I have had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So far. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said a moment ago, my sermon is based upon this morning's epistle reading. Down through the centuries, many questions have been frustrating, and yes, even agitated to the minds of so many people. However, the one question that looms like Mount Everest over all of the questions is, how can I get right with God? The reason why people have always been asking this question is that deep down in their hearts, they know that something is wrong in their relationship with God. Because of repeated sinning against God, a person is going to wonder from time to time how he or she will make out on the day of judgment. How can one's life, which has been full of so many wrongs, ever be made right? and win the approval of Almighty God, the Supreme Judge. Most people, if even concerned, have come to the conclusion that the answer to the ever-reoccurring question, how can I get right with God, is I can get right with God by a decent and upright life. I read an article about a disc jockey in Chicago. This was several years ago. He took his microphone out into the street and simply asked people on the street the simple question, how does a person get to heaven? Well, people who believe that there is a heaven, they responded, obey the golden rule, do good, be good, go to church. And he even got one answer, pay your bills. Actually, all these answers are really natural for all people. We are born with a rather good opinion of ourselves, with the idea that we are able to satisfy God with our own efforts. And this is a natural reasoning, because we want to think that we by nature are something. And when it really comes down to it, doesn't it seem reasonable to believe that a person should receive some credit from God for being good, doing good, and leading a decent life, and even paying your bills? After all, doesn't this principle hold true in everyday life? We pay and are paid for goods delivered and services rendered. You can get just about anything, it is said, if you're willing to work for it. So again, by nature, we like to follow this reasoning in religion. And doesn't it seem fair that if we have sinned against God, we must and can make up for our sins by a sufficient number of good works? And one of the favorite temptations of the devil is to assure us that our sins are, well, they're not really that bad, considering all the good things that we do. In this morning's epistle, St. Paul comes to grips with the ever-reoccurring question, how can I get right with God? Well, we can get right with God not by being humble, not by doing good works, but only by faith, and in this case, faith in Jesus Christ. My dear friends, this is the beginning, the center, and the end, the heart of the Christian gospel, faith in Christ. This is Almighty God's answer to the ever-reoccurring question, how can a person get right with God? Well, by faith in Christ alone. A few verses previous to our text, St. Paul makes the emphatic declaration, for we conclude that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And to demonstrate and confirm this teaching, that a person is saved by faith alone, St. Paul in our text refers to the case of Abraham. Abraham stands out as one of the greatest people of God in the Old Testament. He had the honor of being the father of the Jewish people, as well as being the spiritual father of all believers. As a matter of fact, God even names himself the God of Abraham. Abraham was truly a man who distinguished himself by his good life. Well, God called Abraham to leave his father's home and country and to journey to a strange land that God not at that time even revealed to him. But Abraham obeyed God without question and started the difficult journey to a strange, unknown land. Abraham was a person of deep devotional life. Whenever Abraham pitched his tent, he built an altar at which he and his family would worship God. And if you remember, it was Abraham who was willing to sacrifice his very own son at God's command. These and many more examples were just some of the works and the virtues of Abraham. So what could be said about Abraham? That is, according to his many good achievements? Well, if anyone could be saved by doing good, Abraham was a prime candidate for getting it right with God by what he had done. And if this was really true, then Abraham, above all, would have had much reason for boasting before God. But now comes St. Paul with a verdict from the very word of God as to Abraham. For what saith the scriptures? Well, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. As great and as a good man was Abraham, the infallible verdict of God's inspired word is that Abraham was not saved by being good or by doing good deeds. Yes, Abraham did possess righteousness before God, but that righteousness was obtained by faith, by believing God. The entire salvation of Abraham rests on faith and faith alone. Abraham believed God. And what did Abraham believe? He believed the promise of God. God had appeared to Abraham and showed him the countless number of stars in God's heaven and told Abraham, "So shall your descendants be." And that was an almost unbelievable promise for that time, because both Abraham and his wife Sarah were well advanced in years and they still had no son. But Abraham believed God. And this faith the Lord counted to him for righteousness. But Abraham believed even more. And with the eyes of faith, Abraham looked out across the centuries and saw the seed of the woman, the Messiah, namely Jesus Christ. Jesus himself gives this interpretation of Abraham's faith when he said to the unbelieving Jews of his day, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And through Jesus Christ, Abraham would become the spiritual ancestor of many people. Through Christ, the blessing would come to all people. And this blessing would be in the fact that Jesus Christ would redeem mankind from sin, death, and from the power of the devil through his suffering and death on the cross as a sinner's substitute. Abraham's certainty of salvation rested on the future Christ, whom he possessed by faith. Yes, again, Abraham possessed righteousness before God, but that righteousness he obtained by faith. He had not received it by being good or doing good. And so it is with us. Listen again to our text. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Not only for Abraham, but for all people, for all time. God's answer to the ever-reoccurring question, "How can I get right with God?" is always the same. To those who place no worth, no value on their own goodness, but cast themselves upon the free grace and the mercy of God through faith in Christ Jesus, such faith is counted for righteousness. Faith has nothing to add to what Christ has already done. But faith is merely the hand that receives the forgiveness and salvation which God offers through Christ his Son, who lived, died, and rose again for the redemption of all people. Our getting right with God by faith in Christ and not by any works or merit of our own is the most relevant, the most important thing in our lives. But how often Satan tries to trick us into thinking that our relationship with God is due to our own efforts. To follow Satan's line of thinking is dangerous. It destroys us. It robs us. It takes us away from the meaning of Christ's atoning sacrifice on Calvary's cross. If our salvation was in any way dependent upon our deeds, our conduct, it would always be uncertain, but God's promise is absolutely certain. He can, in faith, confidently trust in God's promises. The ever-reoccurring question, "How can I get right with God?" should never be an ever-reoccurring question. Why? Because God has settled this question for us once and for all, finally and forever, in his infallible word. "For by grace you are saved, through faith." The supreme glory and comfort of the Christian gospel is this: righteousness, forgiveness, peace, salvation, heaven, All are not by works, but by faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, who by his life, death, and resurrection as our substitute secured for us righteousness, forgiveness, peace, salvation, and heaven. We are saved by God's mercy, not by our merits, by Christ dying, not by our doing. This is God's plan of salvation. There is no other plan. May he always keep us in his grace. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word, as becometh it, may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide to the very end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.